All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 12, verse 1. We're going to be studying this first 11 verses of chapter 11. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we do and just ask him to be with us this morning. Lord, you are an awesome, mighty God. You have shown yourself to us throughout history. You have displayed your wonder through your marvelous miracles and through your faithfulness to your word. And Father, you have given every believer in Jesus Christ something special, something beyond this world, the gift of your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we know that you are a giver of gifts. Gifts that help us live the way you want us to. And gifts that help us bring glory to Jesus Christ, our marvelous Savior. Father, I pray today that as we study your word this morning, we would see how you work in our lives so that we might bring glory to you. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In a game between the San Diego Chargers and the Denver Broncos on December 2, 2006, LaDainian Tomlinson, running back for the Chargers, took his position the same way he had done hundreds of times before. But this time, he took the ball and sprinted around two defenders for a 7-yard gain into the end zone for his NFL record-breaking 29th touchdown of the season. Impressive as that accomplishment was, Tomlinson's selfless behavior after the run really stole the show. Instead of raising his hands in victory or dancing across the turf, Tomlinson beckoned his offensive line, those inconspicuous behemoths who cleared the path for his success, to join him. With more than 67,000 fans wildly cheering, he helped his entire team bask in the glory. Now, the attitude Tomlinson displayed toward his teammates was not the one being displayed by some at the church in Corinth. As they displayed their abilities that God had given them in the church, their tendency toward elitism and pride had made them consider certain gifts of the Spirit better than other gifts. This only served to fuel the present divisions in the church that Paul had already addressed in previous chapters. It also contributed to a misuse and misrepresentation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. With this in mind, the Apostle Paul sets out to encourage all the believers, revealing that God will endow them with abilities and that they can use these abilities to edify the church and benefit the cause of Christ. This should be an encouragement to all of us that every believer is endowed by God with special gifts that he wants you to use in the work of his kingdom and in the work in the context of the church. However, a true working of the Holy Spirit is designed to bring unity in the church. Even though there are different gifts given by God, they are designed to work in unison with each other. So a proper use of the spiritual gifts, of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, are going to lead not to a dividing or a separation of the church, but a unification of the church, a gelling together of the church as one vessel that God uses for his great and mighty purposes. So as we use these abilities that the Spirit has given us in a proper way, we will come together as a vessel that encourages and exhorts those in the church and shows the world that we are unified in Jesus Christ. So let's take a look at this passage and see how the Spirit works in us to accomplish this beautiful task. Now, look at verse 1 again. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking in the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say by that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." So the proper use of spiritual gifts will keep us unified around the exaltation of Jesus Christ. The proper use of the gifts of the Holy Spirit will keep us unified around the exaltation of Jesus Christ. Paul begins his discourse on spiritual gifts by reminding the Corinthians of their former spiritual condition. Their pagan practices in the past had led them to activities they thought were spiritual, but had actually led them to be swayed by demonic influence to worship false gods. So Christians can be deceived into thinking an activity is spiritually good when it is actually detrimental. And we see that in the church today as a whole. We see that carnal activities that have been adopted by the church are actually looked at as spiritual. And they're looked at as something that is good. And they actually even attest those things to the Holy Spirit, when they are actually not from the Holy Spirit. They are actually from pagan demonic influence. And a world that has embraced those influences. And so we need to be careful. We need to have discernment when we approach things that are spiritual, when we actually engage in activities that we call from the Lord, so that we can see what truly is spiritual. Things that divide us as Christians, we should question whether or not those things are actually from the Lord. Christians today still attribute pagan activities to the work of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, discernment must be exercised as we evaluate our activities in the church. Paul gives one test in verse 3 to help us discern if the activity is from the Holy Spirit. We are commanded in 1 John 4, verse 1, to test the spirits, whether they are of God. And so it's our duty as Christians to examine the activities of the church to see whether they are actually from the Holy Spirit or not. And so this test is not merely an oral proclamation that one accepts, but one that accepts the lordship of Christ and is willing to live his life by those commandments, by the commandments of the Lord. So, you know, Paul says this. He says, if someone says Jesus is accursed, you know that they are not of the Spirit, that you know that they're not acting in the Spirit of God. And the other thing is, someone that says Jesus is Lord, you know that the Holy Spirit is working in them. Now, it's just not a proclamation of words, because we certainly have heard others say Jesus is Lord, and they weren't acting in the Holy Spirit, in the Spirit. But what it really means is, what does their life look like? Does their proclamation match what they're saying? Does their life match what their proclamation is. In other words, if I say Jesus is Lord, and I don't act like he's Lord of my life, and my spirit, quote, spiritual activities don't reflect that he is the Lord of my life, then I'm not acting upon the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people attribute their activities that are contrary to the commandments of God as from the Holy Spirit. And we can discern that that's not the case. That's not how someone displays the gifts of the Spirit. Any gift of the Spirit that is displayed should be lined up with the commands of Scripture, with the commands of Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit will only work in a way that is congruent with what Jesus Christ has already commanded. Okay? So let's remember that as we test the spirits. When our activities are led by the Holy Spirit, it will lead to an exaltation of Jesus Christ. So one of the ways we can discern whether a display of the Spirit is actually true or false is, does it give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or does it give glory to the person displaying the activity? I think that's a real good test, and I think that goes along with what Paul is saying here. You can look at what's going on and see whether or not this activity is bringing glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, or it's bringing glory to someone else. And that's a great way to discern whether something is from the Lord. But if it is bringing glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's something that we can unite in and praise God for. And that's what we want to do. We want all the activities that we do as a church, as individuals, to be able to say, wow, that glory to God, praise Jesus. I mean, that's wonderful what's happening here. And we can see that the Lord is really working and doing this. And that unifies us as believers. When he is exalted, when Jesus is exalted, he will draw us together and become one vessel controlled by his Holy Spirit. I think of that verse where Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. I believe that if our activities lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be there'll be a unifying effect there. And so let's remember that as we seek to use the gifts that God has given us for his service. Not only that, proper use of the spirit of spiritual gifts will keep us unified around the examination of the source of these endowments. Now, look at verse 4. It says, therefore, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. So Paul makes a point of showing all these workings come from three persons. And I want you to notice this. We've been talking about the Trinity on Wednesday nights and how we understand the Trinity and how the Trinity works in our world and in our lives. Well, here is a wonderful passage that deals with the Trinity. First, notice the phrase in verse 4, the same Spirit. So this is the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 5, the same Lord. This is Jesus Christ. And then in verse 6, the same God. Of course, this is the Father. So we see the triune God personally involved in the activities of the believers. And no matter what those gifts are, no matter what abilities we are displaying, no matter what positions we hold because of those gifts, It is all coming from one source, the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so we don't have any room to glory, because no matter what talent you have been given, it comes from the triune God. The word gift here means gift of grace. So it's not because of anything that you've done that you get these gifts that God gives you, these abilities that He gives you, these talents that He gives you. It's because God gave them to you. Not only that, no matter what position it leads to, it is because of the leading of the triune God. Ministries means administrations. So if you're given a position, it's not because you're something great in your own self, but because the triune God has enabled you with the ability to hold that position. And so the glory goes to God, not yourself. And because of this, if someone else is holding a different position, even though you may view that position as not as elite as yours, you should remember that it doesn't matter, because they all came from God. And God's the one that designates these. And it's not based on your merit. It's not based on our merit. It's based on God's grace. That's why it's called a gift, not a reward, okay, or an award. It's a gift. Not only that, no matter how they are displayed, no matter how they are displayed in your life, it is the result of the triune God working in you. Activities can mean operations. So no matter how well these are displayed in your life, you have the gift of preaching. You know, I know there's guys, I think about Adrian Rogers. He's a wonderful preacher. He was obviously gifted with the gift of preaching, right? Eloquent, wonderful, knew how to present God's word in a way that people could understand, and it was just filled with the Holy Spirit. There was no doubt about it. Well, sometimes we tend to give glory to guys because they've been given an extra ability that maybe some other guys haven't. But I guarantee you, Adrian Rogers would tell you that he's not going to take any credit for that, because it's given by the triune God. And that's what we need to understand. We need to understand that although we are given these gifts, and some of us can display these gifts in more aesthetic ways than others, we got no room to glory, because it all comes from God. He is the source. And so as we examine the source of spiritual gifts, it should unify us. It should unify us, because no longer is there jealousy, no longer is there pride involved in this, because it all comes from God, right? It all comes from the Lord, the triune God. So I think of athletes as they perform well in a sporting event. Sometimes they actually try to give glory to God, right? A pitcher strikes out a guy for the final out of the inning, and as he's walking off the field, he points up in the air to the Lord. And I know a lot of guys do that genuinely to give praise to their God, to the Lord Jesus. So when we are able to perform well with the gifts God has given us in the realm of the church or in ministry, who do we point to? Do we point to ourselves, or do we point to God? Let's point to God. And that will unify us as a church and as believers, okay? Now, finally, in verse 7 through 11, we are told that the proper use of spiritual gifts will keep us unified around the exhortation of others. The proper use of the spiritual gifts will keep us unified around the exhortation of others. Now, the Holy Spirit endows us with certain abilities so we can be used to exhort others to live for Jesus Christ. Look at verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For the profit of all. So these abilities are given so that we can exhort others, so that all can be exhorted to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul lists some of these abilities. Now, this is not a complete list of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand that. There's other gifts listed in Romans chapter 12 and on other areas of the scriptures as well. And even if you compiled those, it may not encompass all the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives believers to accomplish His will. So I don't want us to think that this is a complete list, but I do want you to understand that these gifts are part of what the Holy Spirit gives to believers that they may accomplish God's purpose in their lives. So let's look at the first one here. For to one, in verse 8 it says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Now, the word of wisdom, I'm going to just define these for you and give you a little bit of an application of how they can help others live for Christ. The word of wisdom, this is seeing life from God's perspective, helping others develop a fear of the Lord. We're told that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And so to be able to help people see from God's perspective, it's a wonderful gift. It's a wonderful gift from God to be able to lead people to understand God's perspective in their lives. And I think that leads to the next thing that Paul mentions, and that is the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge through the same Spirit. The word of knowledge is comprehending Christ in the Scripture. Knowledge comes from the Holy Spirit. So we understand that the Lord gives us real knowledge through His Spirit. And not only that, He gives us the ability to understand Jesus Christ. And to be able to understand the Scriptures. That is a wonderful gift. I read several commentaries in order to fully understand what I'm going to speak to you about every week. I'm amazed at the insight that God has given some of these commentators. Things that I didn't see. But once I am aware of them by these commentators, I can see. I can see that teaching. And it's so great to be able to have that. And I think that's why God gives us teachers in the church. Because He gives them this gift of knowledge so that they can help us understand Christ and the Scriptures even better. And I think that's a wonderful gift. Now, not only that, we are told to another faith by the same Spirit. Notice every one of these is by the Holy Spirit. It's by the same Spirit. He's emphasizing this oneness, this unity in this, because he's got in the back of his mind the divisions that have been occurring because of misuse of the gifts of the Spirit. So faith. Faith is visualizing what God wants to accomplish. Faith is the result of hearing the Word of God taught and proclaimed. Romans 10:17 tells us a little bit about faith. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Why do we start our worship service off now with reading the scriptures. George's doing a great job with that. Why do we have scripture reading now in our service? Why do we do that? Because hearing the word of God increases our faith. Hearing the word of God increases our faith. And so faith is something that God wants us to have. So it's important that we realize that God's going to give some people a greater degree of faith, and that faith will be represented in the word. But I understand that some people are willing to step out on faith to do things that others wouldn't, because God hasn't gifted them with that much faith. I think of Jana this morning. Boy, how'd you like to go to a country in this day and age where 97% of the people are Muslim, and you're claiming to be a Christian? That seems to me like a little bit of a dangerous prospect, right? And it takes faith, just like she said, that she read that verse in Deuteronomy. See, I told you, I can't say it more than once in a row without messing it up. But she read that verse in Deut. You can fill in the rest. She read that verse. Why? Because you could see through the word of God, her hearing the word of God, that it increased her faith enough to see what God could do if she went. That's what we're talking about here. God will do that for you. He will do that for you. It's amazing what God does. And then we have the gift of healings. It says, to another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Now, healings, removing diseases from the spirit, soul, or body. Removing the diseases from the spirit, of soul, and body. Now, some commentators think of the gifts of healings and miracles and prophecy as things that were only for the apostolic age. And there is some merit to that thought. However, I do not want us to think that God can't still heal people, that God can't still endow people with certain gifts at certain times in the proper way so that the Lord may accomplish His will. And I do believe, and I believe we witness it in our own church, that God has removed some diseases from the body of people. Corinne has been a great testimony to that. We've prayed for Corinne before, and the Lord has healed her. Amen? And I'm thankful for that. We see that God can do that kind of thing. But He also heals the spirit and the soul. We've seen God heal people of bitterness. We've seen God heal people of anger. We've seen God heal people of greed. We've seen God heal people of guilt, of discouragement, of worry, of jealousy. See, God can heal by His Spirit. And this is something that God will do in the lives of believers. It's not wacko smacko. It's not wacko smacko. I call it wacko smacko. Some wacko smackos you on the head and you're all set. It's not wacko smacko, folks, okay? Wacko smacko has nothing to do with the working of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So, it says, working of miracles. Now, and this is in verse 10, to another, working of miracles. So, working of miracles, what is this? Natural or supernatural events with precise timing to bring glory to God. That's the definition I have here. Natural or supernatural events with precise timing to bring glory to God. Now we think about the parting of the Red Sea. That was a supernatural event that God used that He could get glory from, and that the Israelites could see that He is a great and mighty God and that they could have faith in Him. But God's done some things in our lives similar. in this church. When we were building the church, we had the warmest winter we've ever had that I can imagine. I mean, it was 50 degrees in January. We were able to put up stone in January. And, you know, God just worked that out in that particular year. A year later, we had like 100 inches of snow. It would have been impossible for us to do what we did. Is that a coincidence? Of course not. That's not a coincidence. That's God's precise timing working in nature so that he can get glory. And that's what we need to see. God is an awesome God. And he will work these things out, these working of miracles. But not only that, there is prophecy. Prophecy is proclaiming the truth of the gospel. As the truth is proclaimed, the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so this is amazing. Prophecy is not fortune-telling. Prophecy is telling the truth. It's telling the truth of God and the gospel and proclaiming it and seeing the Holy Spirit of God work through that proclamation. God can do that in our lives. Not only that, he can help us discern spirits. Discerning of spirits is recognizing what is of God versus what is of the flesh or the world. God can give us that discernment. And I think we need to ask the Holy Spirit to give us this gift more, because I think the lines between paganism in the world and Christianity are getting mulled. They're getting confused. And I think we need more discernment in the church as a whole to see this calamity. Now, look at, it says various tongues. So God gives believers the ability to communicate the gospel in other languages. Now, this can be a supernatural ability. Now, it's very clear from Acts chapter 1 and from this passage and others that the gift of tongues is nothing like we may hear of it being displayed in the church today. It was actually being able to communicate in someone else's language so that you could tell them about Jesus Christ. So, if I spoke English and you spoke Spanish, and in that day I wanted to communicate the gospel to you, God would give me the supernatural ability to relay the gospel in Spanish. In Spanish. And it says interpretation of tongues. So, maybe I want to tell you about the gospel, but I can't because I don't know your language, but there is a translator who has that gift of being able to translate and is able to tell them the gospel. This is what it is about. It's not about some blah, 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 and, you know, nobody knows what you're saying and, you know, you have to have someone else who knows blah, 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 blah in order to say it. It's just not that. I'm sorry. I don't mean to patronize anyone. There's genuine believers who believe that. But that is not what the scriptural meaning of tongues is. And so we need to be honest with ourselves and with the Word. And the Word clearly teaches that these gifts were given so that Jesus Christ might be exalted, okay? And so if there's a pagan nature to these gifts where something is being said that's not understood, and Paul's going to address this later on, and it gets chaotic, and things are not orderly, and they're not decent, then you know it's not from the Holy Spirit, okay? And we need to understand that. So the important thing that we need to see in this list is that all these gifts of the Spirit are given to exhort others to live for Jesus Christ. It is this wonderful purpose that should unify us as a church. So when we are focused on exalting Jesus Christ, examining the source of our abilities, and exhorting others, we will be unified in our spiritual activities.